The Justin Robert Young program is brought to you, as always, by PayJuryDaily.com. And gents, clear out the vents. It's your old pal Justin Robert Young here. I'm not gonna lie to you guys, feeling a little out of it today. I don't know what it is. I'm feeling a little punchy. I'm feeling a little weird. I'm feeling a little like things are a little wibbly wobbly. Got a long day today. Ends with Night Attack tonight. I gotta do Unfriend Me. I gotta yell in the intro to that. So this is one of them there. I always knew. Mama said there'd be days like this. Whenever you're doing a daily show, some of the times you're not going to bat your best, right? A daily show is going to be more about batting average than it is going to be a home run derby. All right, like every episode of Serial, you're going to turn it on and you're going to be like, I learned something about that dude who's probably still a murderer. That's great. Each and every one of these is a home run. But for a daily show, you get an episode like this. You get a weird episode like this. So we're going to play the hits a little bit. This is an article a lot of people sent me over the weekend. So I might as well get into it. It's fucking stupid. From Philadelphia Magazine. An article by Sandy Hingston. How millennials killed mayonnaise. Let's go ahead and read the rest. The inexorable rise of the industry identity condiments has led to hard times for America, for the most American of foodstuffs, and that's a shame. That's your subhead. We now do a segment I like to call Reading a Stupid Fucking Article. I write this in the dead of summer, always a bittersweet season. Why is it we got summers off from school for all those years but don't get summers off from work? But doubly depressing these days when I find myself suffering from picnic panic. The hot languid weather... Oh, Jesus. Somebody got an English degree. The hot languid weather brings with it a series of outdoor family events for which, as a tribal elder, I'm charged with providing provisions. Fucking alliteration. Asshole. Lately, though, I've had my feet cut out from under me. For years, nay, decades. You put nay in a fucking article in 2018... In 2018, you put nay in an article. For years, nay decades, my contributions to the Hingston Clan's Memorial Day and 4th of July and Labor Day gatherings were a no-brainer. I made what my mother once made. She was such a good cook that when she died prematurely, my husband and I typed up and photocopied quaint. I know. That was an editorial giggle. A booklet of her recipes, tried and true favorites on which she built her phenomenal culinary reputation. When the holidays rolled around, I simply recreated one of her delicious dishes and toted it along. So yesterday we had a little journalism lesson about what a lead and a nut graph is. This is primarily for news writing. But in general, for feature or magazine writing, it's helpful to also not treat a magazine feature like it's a fucking novel and you are expecting everybody to read 400 words at your own pace, revealing things as you wish. Theoretically, in the more disposable medium of even online feature writing, even a long read, you want to give people a general idea what the fuck they're going to read beyond the headline. So we are now, what I'm going to estimate, at 7,000 words, and we have heard fucking nothing about her central thesis. Maybe it'll happen in these next billion words. I continue reading in a patronizing accent. Along about a decade ago, though, I began to notice that I was toting home as much of my offerings as I'd concocted. My contributions were being overlooked or shunned. Why should this be? Mom's extraordinary potato salad, fragrant with dill, spiced with celery seed, went untouched on the picnic table. So did her macaroni salad and her chicken salad and her deviled eggs. When I caught it home, I got 3 pounds of painstakingly prepared Waldorf salad. All the peeling and coring and slicing, I was forced to face facts. The family's tastes had changed, or rather, our family had changed. Old sirs were dying off, and the young'uns taking up place on the paper plate line were different somehow. We are now 7 trillion words into this article, and we have not heard the phrase mayonnaise yet. We continue in this 7-hour word-for-word recreation of this awful article. I racked my brain for the source of this generational discontent, and then one holiday weekend, while surveying the condiments set out at a family burger bash, I found it on offer. With 4 different kinds of mustard, 3 ketchups, 1 made from, I kid you not, bananas, 7 kinds of salsa, kimchi, wasabi, relishes of every ilk and hue. What was missing, though, was the common foundation of all of Mom's picnic foods. Mayonnaise! While I wasn't watching, Mayo's day had come and gone. It's too basic for contemporary taste, pale and insipid, and not nearly exotic enough for our era of globalization. Good old Mayo has become the Taylor Swift of condiments. I hope that whoever is involved with the research, writing, editing, and publication of this article goes to jail. I hope that they go to jail. Like, not for a long time. Like the way that you would punish somebody who gets too drunk and pulls out their dick on Bourbon Street. Like that kind of jail. They should go to jail for a night. Just have a mugshot taken. Everybody involved. In fact, everybody in this family, too. Even though they're on the right side of history with the Mayo thing. I thought I was going to yell at this article because it was about mayonnaise, the millennials killing mayonnaise. But instead, I'm just very annoyed with this writing. I don't even know where it goes. Also, apparently, this was published in the August 2018 edition of the Philadelphia Magazine as the article, The White Stuff. Get fucked forever. GFF. Well, I mean, come on. Come on. Get the fuck out of here. And maybe, I mean, also, let's like, maybe... Maybe, just maybe, just a little bit. Maybe we should consider that just, yeah, possibly, maybe a little bit, and we can decipher this under the 45 bajillion words. A word count for this article that is spiraling ever upward like the national debt clock. Maybe you suck at cooking potato salad. Maybe just that. Maybe we could have just reduced this entire article to I suck ass at cooking my mom's potato salad, and I'm now projecting blame on not only the children in my own family, but moreover, millennials as a whole. How much can I shift blame? Can I, Sandy Hingston, shift blame for my own awful cooking Here's how much. The headline on this article should be, can one writer, it's impossible for one writer to justify their own awful cooking by blaming an entire generation. And then the subhead should be, Sandy Hingston, colon, hold my cold, unloved bowl of potato salad. Fuck this article. Let's go ahead and read your emails. Ken wrote in, have you been watching Who is America? While I've been amused, shocked, and amazed by each episode so far, I feel conflicted and a little dirty for watching. While I'm happy to see a racist piece of shit exposed, I can't help but wonder if someone were secretly racist, don't they have the right to remain secretly racist? Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it's okay to be racist secretly or otherwise, but who among us are so pure of thought that we'd survive the nastiest innermost thoughts being exposed for all to scrutinize? Is being tricked into saying or doing something on a public forum that would damage your career and personal life as bad as combing through decades-old tweets to ruin a career? There's another question in here that I actually find very interesting, but I'm going to pause that for a second while I answer the first question. Obviously, Sacha Baron Cohen and his kind of show that he does is fascinating, daring, and I think more than a little brave. The difference with this show and his Ali G show back in the day, I think, is that there's not a lot of silliness in Who is America? Whereas, like, Ali G, every once in a while, they would go for the gullet. They would go for the gusto and, like, throw the Jew down the well or something like that. But a lot of it was him just being an asshole next to celebrities, and it's funny. This show, I think, by its very stated purpose, is different. This is about cornering people in power and finding out what they say when they think they are amongst their friends. So, with that being understood, I do think that there's less of a fun. There's not a lot of release valves on that show. So, really, the only thing that you have to go on is like, oh, he got him. And like when he gets like the Georgia lawmaker to fucking, you know, run around with his pants off and scream the N-word and stuff like that. Then it's like, all right, this guy's a major horse's ass, and he just showed it. But I do think it's a little bit less of a joyful show, which is odd for a comedy show, because comedy in general is supposed to bring you joy. But I don't think it meant itself to be that. So there's that. Ken then goes on to ask, do you think that one of his characters, OMG, Whizboy, OMG, is based partially on your friend and mine, Chad Johnson, a.k.a. OMG, Chad. So, if you are not familiar with these two characters, I'm going to put them side by side here for you. On the left is Sacha Baron Cohen. I believe OMG Whizboy is supposed to be Swedish. So it is certainly an amalgam of a lot of different people. And then on the right is my dear friend, Chad Johnson, a.k.a. OMG Chad. I don't know for sure. It would certainly be surreal if Sacha Baron Cohen playing a YouTuber. Now, Chad does Minecraft videos. OMG Whizboy OMG does unboxing videos. That's like the pretext for him interviewing all these people. But there's only really one opinion that matters. And I have text messaged Chad. He has yet to get back to me. Uh, He has yet to get back to me. But I will report back tomorrow or the next day, whenever Chad gets back to me. I will find out if Chad thinks that OMG Whizboy is based. I asked him whether or not he thought that the OMG Whizboy OMG is based in part, at least the hair color and the name is based on him. So we will find out. I think it is safe to point out that dyed hair with OMG in their screen name is not exclusive to Chad. And I would probably put PewDiePie as more of a, like, slightly racist Norwegian character. I'd probably say it's mostly influenced by PewDiePie if I were to take a guess. And also Sacha Baron Cohen, if he's like looking to research, oh, what does a YouTuber look like? Yeah, you're going to run by PewDiePie first because he's the most successful. But we don't know. We don't know. All right. We continue to get, I always invite you guys to guess my race. No one has gotten it yet. Hot Beverages writes in that my race, she just writes, Miami titty bar owner, but that's not a race. Adam writes is, I do believe from the tint of your flesh that you, my man, are one Talion. I am not one Talion. And Trench writes, I believe that you are a Mesopotamian microbrewer.
Diamond Club.
Oops. A reminder, you can support this show at PayJuryDaily.com. If you are at $10 a month, I believe, is what we have set this at, you can be one of our producers. Be a cool person like The Gen, Petey Rave, and Kim Immel, as well as Rock and Roll Martian. You can email JuryDaily@gmail.com, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Justin R. Young. Join the conversation at DiamondClub.reddit.com. Oh, one thing. If you've got my game, The Contender, and you have not reviewed it on Amazon, go review it on Amazon. We're doing a push for that. Every review helps. Make it a 5 stars. But every review helps. Take some time out of your day to go review The Contender on Amazon. If you like it. If you like it. It just helps a lot. There's a couple things that we're trying to do. We want to make sure we get those reviews up. That about wraps it up. Jesus. That about wraps it up for me. Don't you think you have, I will see you guys later. Until tomorrow. Please. Don't.
Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.